If you have your Bibles, the book of Matthew chapter 14. Book of Matthew chapter 14, verse number 22. Very familiar text. Don't cut me off because you know this text or because you could preach it better than I can. I just feel like that this is what the Lord wants us to read and to preach from tonight. Matthew chapter 14, verse number 22. I'll ask you if you will please stand. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." That's the book of Matthew chapter 14. Verses 22 through 33, if correctly read. We've been preaching for a number of weeks on God's answer to prayer. And I want to preach this thought tonight. Lord, save me. Father, thank you tonight for allowing us to be in your house. Thank you for the souls that you've allowed us to see get saved this last week and just to have just a little part in what you're doing. And Father, I've been praying for a number of days just to be able to take somebody by the hand and walk them to the fountain that you might wash them and let them see, Lord, and cause a blinded man to see. And Lord, you've been letting us see that, Father, and we give you praise and honor. And God, I ask now that you'd hide us behind the cross and help us to preach tonight in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And for this I pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Now, we see our Lord Jesus Christ. He's been calling his disciples. He called 12 of them. He said to them, "Follow me." And they forsook their nets, or they left their tax collecting, and they began to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And they followed him for three and a half years. They saw our Savior as he began to counsel with his doctrine, as he went around teaching and preaching the Word of God. They saw Jesus and followed him as Jesus would cast out demons. And the disciples were amazed at the power of Christ to throw demons right out of souls. And then we see the Lord Jesus Christ caring for the distressed. Why, he would heal the blind and he would heal the lepers. And right in Matthew chapter 14, we have a multitude of people, 5,000 men, not to mention the women and the children that are gathered there. And they've been following Jesus, hearing him preach and teach. And they're hungry and they're famished and they don't have anything to eat. And Jesus said, "What do we have to eat?" And they said, "There's a lad here, but what are 5 loaves and 2 fishes among so many?" And the Lord Jesus Christ blessed it and fed that great crowd. And verse 22 says, straightway, just as soon as he had done that, he told his disciples to go and get in a ship and head to the other side of the sea. We know from reading the scripture that they're heading into a storm, but they didn't know it. And the truth of the matter is tonight that you're either right now in a storm, or that you've just come through a storm, or that you're getting ready to head into one right now. So number one, three things tonight. Number one, there is the prompting of the Savior. Let's watch him as he is dismissing his men. Verse 22, straightway. What does that mean? It means immediately. Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. Constrained. He urged them. You might say it like this: he forced them. He made them go. I mean, they'd just seen a great miracle, and the Lord said, you're not to stay here. Go forward. Press on. Well, I don't want to go forward. God says, go forward. There was a Boy Scout came in one day late to the Boy Scout meeting. And the scoutmaster said, son, why are you late? He said, I was helping a little old lady cross the street. He said, why would that make you late? He said, because she didn't want to go. Hey, man, sometimes we don't want to go. And the Lord says, you're going right across that lake. You're going to the other side. Lord, I want to stay here. God said, I told you, you're going. It is God's will for these disciples to depart. It is God's will. The Lord is sending them forward to go right into the storm. They are to go before him. He is dismissing his men. I also see him dispersing the multitude. He told his men to go get in the ship, go before him to the other side, comma, look at the text, while he sent the multitudes away. As the disciples, his men, sail away, the multitude who's just been satisfied in being fed by the Lord's going to disperse them. He's going to cause them to quietly begin to separate and scatter. Preacher Darren, why'd he do it? Look with me in the book of John, chapter number 6, an often overlooked portion of Scripture. In John chapter 6, you got to see this, very important. John chapter 6, and in verse number 15, and I want to wait till you find it. The disciples have gotten the ship, and they're getting ready to sail away. Their hearts longing to be back there where the miracle took place. No doubt they're rejoicing and praising God for what happened, but you can't live on leftovers all the time. God has something fresh for them. And Jesus, he's getting ready to take the multitude and disperse them. Why? Verse 15, John 6. Say amen when you found it. Amen. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force. What does that mean? They said, of a truth, Moses told us a prophet would come, and you're a greater prophet than Moses. And at that point, the crowd of 5,000 men, not to mention the women and the children, maybe 15, 20,000 people, said, Jesus is king, and they're going to give him a worldly crown. And he perceived that they were going to take him by force. He perceived they were going to try to crown him and make him king. Read it. To make him a king. Say amen. Amen. He departed again into a mountain himself alone. What'd he do? He quietly dispersed the crowd. He disbanded the people. It's not his time yet. The multitude's excited. They've got earthly provisions and earthly possessions, and they're satisfied, and they're wanting somebody worldly to take care of them. And you know why Jesus sent them away? Because he knew that his disciples would get caught up in the hype. You and I are just liable to get caught up in the hype. Oh, preacher, there ought to be a lot of hype. It's not about emotion. Listen, it's about following the Spirit by faith. Now, he doesn't want his disciples to get caught up in that, and he doesn't want them to fall into the wishes of the world, and so he sends the disciples away as he disbands the people. A lot of people don't realize what happened there. Back to our text. In verse 23, I see the direction of the Master. Jesus did not immediately follow his disciples. What did he do? When he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Now he prayed for the will of God. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed for those people that he has just fed and he's just dispersed them. And he's prayed. Listen, the Bible said it was about evening, so it's about 6 p.m. He's gone up to the mountain, he's praying. And we know that he's going to go to them walking in the fourth watch of the night from 3 a.m. to 6 p.m. So he's at least prayed 9 hours alone upon the side of that mountain. And the book of Mark tells us that he saw his disciples in a storm. I'm sure he did. He's seen you in a storm. and he's seen me in a storm. And praise God, only he can get us out of the storm. I just want to say this tonight, see if I can get an amen. I'm glad that Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for us. Do you know what he's doing right now? He is sitting on the right hand of God the Father, and he's making intercession. He's praying for you and for me right now in the middle of our storm, or the storm we're going into. He is praying for us. Hey, listen, I got a whole prayer list full of people. That's great. I'm glad the pastor can pray, and the deacons can pray, and the church can pray. But honey, if I want to be on anybody's prayer list, put me on Jesus' prayer list. I'm sure that'll get the job done. Amen. Well, preacher, I just don't know. I'm in such a storm. Have you ever considered it could be the will of God that you go through this storm? You've been prompted by the Savior to go through this storm. Amen. Number two. There are the problems we see surrounding the disciples. Some problems. What are they? Well, first of all, there are some angry conditions. Look at verse 24. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. Now, these are fishermen, most of these guys. They've been on the Sea of Galilee many, many times. It's 6 miles wide. And they're in the midst of it. That means they're about 3 miles offshore, and they're about 3 miles to the other shore. They're in the midst of the sea. They're about halfway. Boy, that's the way some of us are tonight. We're about halfway, amen, when the storms of life overtakes us. The wind began to blow contrary to them, and then the waves began to beat convulsively against that ship. Now listen to me for a second. It's one thing for the ship to be in the water, but it's another thing for the water to get in the ship, amen. When the water starts getting in the boat, that's when you and I start getting pretty worried. And for some of us, there's water inside our vessel. We are taking on the storm, and boy, it's more than we can take. So we see some angry conditions. We see, second of all, an anxious crew. Why? A tempest has overtaken them. They are anxious because of the intensity of the storm. These men have been in storms before. No doubt they thought, well, it's all right. We've been in storms before. But all of a sudden it got worse. It was a bigger squall and a bigger storm than anything they had ever seen. And they believed that they were going to die that night on the spot. The Lord has told us to get in this ship, and certainly he has sent us to our death. We are going to die right here. No doubt they began to complain, they began to murmur, they began to question what the Lord was doing in their life. Preacher Darren, how do you know? Because we've done it. Lord, where are you at? Lord, why'd you tell? Lord, why didn't you stop me before I got into this mess? Amen. One time there was a Marine, he had just gotten married, and for their honeymoon, he and his wife, his new bride, went out on a cruise, and suddenly the ship sailed into a storm, tossing and turning, and even those big cruise ships that usually, they glide pretty good, all of a sudden this thing is tossed. They got in such a storm, they lost power, they lost all connection back to the shore. They were absolutely worried to death, and the new bride is afraid. She is scared to death. And the Marine just sat down on the end of the bed, and he watched her as she's just pacing. I can't get a hold of my mama. And I wish I could talk to my daddy. Why are you so calm? I wish I could talk to my daddy right now. Daddy would know what to do. And the Marine just watched her. And I don't know. What do we? I mean, we're going to drown for sure. I'm not even a good swimmer. I mean, she was just pacing back and forth and back and forth. And finally, she looked at him and said, and you make me so mad. On her honeymoon. What did I do? You just sat there. I'm worried to death and I'm all to pieces, and you don't help me at all. You just sit there. And directly he jumped up from behind her, grabbed her, pulled his bayonet out, and stuck it up to her throat. He said, are you afraid? She said, of the bayonet? No. He said, why are you not afraid? She said, because I know you love me, and you wouldn't do anything to hurt me. He lowered the bayonet and he said, that's why I'm calm in the middle of this storm. I know who's in control of the storm. And because I know my Savior loves me, I know everything is going to be all right. And that calmed her down. Honey, let me just go on record tonight. If you're in a storm, I know who's in control of the storm. Can I get a witness? I know who has peace to give me tonight. Preacher Darren, you ought not to get so excited. Honey, you've not been in the storms like I've been. And see what he's brought me out of, amen. And I just give him glory for what he's done tonight, amen. You see, it's the devil, I believe, that's launching this attack. He has no doubt seen, well, them disciples are by themselves. The Lord's up there on the side of a mountain. I got them right where I want them. I'll drown every single one of them before he can ever get to them. And I'm gonna completely annihilate this crowd. There's a lot of times tonight you may feel like you're alone. You may feel like you're defeated. And the devil's, man, he's got this. He's got this mark to wipe you out. Now listen to me. There's trouble in verse 25. It's overwhelmed them. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Now these are experienced fishermen who are struggling and who are toiling in this intense, sudden storm. And things are completely out of control. I want to say it like this. They're in despair. The ship is taking on water, and they're in despair. And it's the fourth watch of the night. I mean, they've been in this storm. They set sail at 6 p.m. They started to cry, and now they've gotten this storm. They've gone for hours. Usually, you can sail to the other side of the Sea of Galilee pretty quick. And man, they've never seen such a storm. They've never been in such a place. And now there's darkness. Darkness so bad they can't hardly see. Their hands in front of their face. What on earth are they going to do? Let me just take time to encourage you for a second. This storm is in the Lord's plans. And this storm is there to test them. The Lord knew when he sent them into this storm, there was an impending storm. The Lord knew he was in control of the storm. And listen, he did not send them to take them under. He sent them to take them over. Some of y'all tonight, you're worried to death. I'm going to go under. No, honey, he's not going to take you under. He's going to make sure to take you over. I just want to encourage you. Now, when they can't hardly see their hand in front of their face, terror begins to overshadow them. Why? The Lord's walking to them on the water. They can't really even see him just yet. But don't forget, he is light. And in him is no darkness. And as he's walking across, the Bible says, verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. You know, sometimes the word spirit here in the Greek is the word phantasma. It means an apparition, a ghost, if you will. You know, glowing. You know how we used to get by the campfire and them Baptist people would sit down and say, we're going to have a camp out. And all of us was all excited to go when we was little kids. And that get to telling them old ghost stories. I've been known to tell one or two. I ought to repent. And we'd get up there and tell them old scary stories of things that happened. And man, I'm telling you, by the time we got ready to go to bed, go to get to the tent or to the camper, they about had to unghost me. I was scared. I was afraid. And you know who it was that ghosted me? Religious people. Amen. Telling me the horror stories of the local church. In fact, I may have lived through a few. Amen. And they're about going to have to unghost me. And when they look out, they see this something moving towards them, and they know that you just don't walk on water. That's impossible. And they said, it's a spirit. It's a phantasma. It's a ghost. It's an apparition. And now, not only are they in despair and they're in darkness, but they're distressed. I'm sure that probably old Doubting Thomas, he probably said, I thought the storm would take us under, but surely that ghost is going to sink us for sure. And when he said it, all the rest of them said, what are we going to do? I'm telling you, there's some of you, you're in such a place in your life, and you get around somebody and somebody else, and they're going to tell you, you're going to sink, you're going to drown, this ain't going to turn out right. And man, they've discouraged you. Hey, for some people, their idea of helping you when you're drowning is giving you another drink of water. Amen? I don't need a drink of water when I'm drowning. I need somebody to save me. I need somebody to encourage me. I need somebody to help me. Now, look with me. This crowd, when Jesus comes walking to them on the water in a miracle, they're not praising him. Praise the Lord! We're saved! Praise the Lord! We're delivered! Praise the Lord! We're rescued! That's not what they did. They panicked further. Oh, it just went from bad to worse. Instead of expressing thankfulness, they were troubled. Here you are in this storm, and man, your flesh and the world and even some of your so-called friends are telling you, and it don't look too good for you. We'll pray for you. Hope it turns out okay. And man, you ghosted absolute death. And it is the Lord that sent you this way. It is the Lord that's there to help you. He's, thank you, Lord. He's near. He's nearby. He's watching. I will remind you, he's praying for you while you're in the middle of this storm. He's watching you. He's seeing you. He's feeling what you're feeling. Oh, boy, he wants to help you. If you just turn that panic into praise, if you just turn that trouble into thankfulness and say, "This what, preacher, how can you be thankful for a storm?" This is what my daddy taught me. It could always be worse. So learn to thank him and say, "Lord, I want to thank you that things are as good as they are. They could be worse. How could they be worse?" You could be at the bottom of the Sea of Galilee. You could be in the depths of hell tonight, amen, with your back broke. But instead, God has just got you in a storm just to show you his power to take you through. Amen. Thirdly, and I'll be done. I do see the power of the Savior. We read again in verse 25 about his powerful path. In the fourth watch of the night, from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., Jesus, oh, I like this, he went unto them through the darkness, through the storm, through the lightning flashing and the clapping of the rolling thunder, through the waves that were convulsive, through the winds that were boisterous. Jesus was not blown off course. Honey, he walked right through it on top of the water. He walked directly to them. May I just take time out to say this about his path? I have verses of scripture. I won't take time to read them. But Jesus is above the storm. He is above all other power. He's above all other people. He's above all other problems. Whatever problem, whatever people are against you, don't forget all those things are under his feet. I see his powerful path. Listen to his powerful proclamation. Now they think it's a spirit. They cried out for fear. What do you think they cried out? Lord, help us. Jesus, where are you at? Oh, God, would you help us, Lord? Or crying out worse. Verse 27. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. What? We gonna drown? And the Spirit speaks to us and says, be of good cheer. I didn't get amen in the house. Amen. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. God does not want you to be scared tonight. He does not want you to have fear. It turn your hair white. Amen. It'll give you heartache. a heartbreak, a heart attack, it's going to ruin your health. Jesus does not want you to be afraid. He says, honey, this problem is under my feet. Oh, man. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. What a proclamation. I believe that tonight that proclamation is a basis of trust. What do you mean, Preacher Darren? It's a place where we can start to trust the Lord that He sees us in our storm. He's with us in our storm. This is where Peter began to launch off with trust. Now look with me. He is trying to develop trust. Verse 28, Peter answered him. He didn't ask Peter a question. He said, be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid. And Peter, he answered him. That's to answer a question. He said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Here's what he said, Lord, can I really trust that it's you? Lord, can I really trust that you have allowed this storm and I'm going to really come through on the other side? Lord, you ever been there? Lord, can I really trust you? Bid me to come to you and walk on the water. And he said, come. Now that's boldness to trust. What a request. Listen now. He throws one leg out of the ship. And Thomas says, oh no, he ain't. Simon Peter, you ain't really going to try that, are you? There's always some disciples behind you when you start to step out on faith that begin to question what you're really doing. Can you see old Simon Peter look back at him and say, he told me to. And so he slides up on the edge, puts the other leg out. He's sitting there on the edge of the boat. He's got his feet there, and for some reason, they didn't even sink in the water. Well, Thomas, just leave me alone right now. I ain't looking at you anymore. Listen, anything else you've got to say. Your problem is you're listening to a lot of disciples that don't know the book, that don't know the Savior. Simon Peter stands up in boldness, and he's standing on the water. But he didn't just settle for that. He took a step. I don't know, you use your right leg first or your left. He starts walking. He's got his eyes on Jesus. And man, let me tell you something. In Simon Peter's lowest moment, distressed, darkness, despair, this is the lowest moment, the hardest storm of his life. Do you believe it? In the lowest moment of his life, he had his greatest walk. You ought to get excited right there. For somebody that's in a storm, you ought to get excited right now. You ought to say, hey, glory to God, I'm not going under, I am going over. And listen, here he sits, getting ready to stand up on the water. Look at the Lord. He's not waiting till the storm gets easier. Let me wait till the waves calm down just a little. Let me wait till the winds slow down. I mean, they're doing about 100 now. Let's get them down to about 60 and I'll give her a try. Hey, some of you, you're waiting for the storm to lighten up before you're willing to step out of the boat. You need to get out when he says get out. And you need to stand when he says stand. And you need to step when he says step. And you need to walk when he says walk. And keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't listen to the crowd. Don't look at the storm. Don't look at the water. Don't listen to the winds. Look to the Savior. He has a powerful proclamation
that has turned into a basis of trust and now is a boldness of trust. And he's walking to go to Jesus. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous. Here's a breakdown of his trust. Somehow that spray off the ocean began to sting his face. And he heard the rolling thunder. And he looked down and saw the wind causing those waves to go crazy. And he was, what's the word? Afraid. Afraid. Now, if I can illustrate, if that's the boat. When he was in the boat, could I say he's afraid? And y'all say amen, he was? It's much more dangerous to be afraid when you're walking on the water than when you're sitting in the boat. But the bottom line is, he is afraid there and now he's afraid here. He's afraid. And the Lord didn't call you out of the boat to get you to fear. He called you out of the boat to increase your faith. And to strengthen you and to bless you. Just listen. They, some of you, God's called you to a work. I can't get off. You are walking. And just because you've walked on the water doesn't mean you won't sink. You get your eyes off Jesus. Just because you walk on water with Jesus don't mean you can just do it any old time you want to. You've got to keep your eyes on him. You get your eyes off Jesus, you're going down. You get your life out of the Word of God. You get your life out of the house of God. You get your eyes off Jesus, you're going to sink. This world's going to absorb you, and they're going to press you down and drown you out if they can. You're going to sink if you get your eyes off Jesus. But if you keep your eyes on him, honey, you're going to keep on walking. Hey, just because you stayed up don't mean you won't go down. He's having, this is what I call it, a relapse of fear. Have you ever had a relapse? That old knot comes back in your belly. That old shake comes back to you. Oh, Lord, I'm afraid to open an email. I'm afraid. Some of you, you're afraid to go to the mailbox. Afraid there'd be that bad note in there. Whatever you've been fearing is going to happen. You're afraid to answer the phone. You're afraid, every text you get, you're like, oh, I don't even want to look at it. I'm scared absolutely to death. Preacher Darren, why would you say that? Because I've been there. I've been there where I dreaded a text, where I dreaded a phone call, where I dreaded an email, where I dreaded going to the mailbox. It was a relapse of fear. God didn't give you that to cause you to fear. It's a request of faith. What's this? Simon Peter began to sink. A relapse of fear. And what did he say when he began to sink? He didn't stop and say, I'll do this. I took swimming lessons. He wasn't too proud to ask for help. Some of us, especially us men, we are too proud to ask for help. Some of you would about rather drown than ask for help. And the Lord wants you to know he's there for you. And his request of faith was, Lord, save me. Now, when's he going to save him? Look with me. There's a powerful presence. And immediately, when was that? Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and he called him. May I say tonight that Jesus did not abandon Peter. I got to do it again. He stands up. He's walking on water. He gets his eyes off the Lord. I might say that that's sin. And he begins to sink. And when he says, Lord, save me, the Lord didn't say, save yourself. You don't look at me like I told you to. I've got you walking on the water. You want to do it by yourself? Just figure it out. And some of you right now, you think that the Lord's abandoned you and just said, figure it out. Just figure it out. Honey, I've been preaching a series on when he says yes. And he does something immediately. He stretched out his arm. I'm glad that I have a Savior whose arm is strong enough to reach out and help me. Thank God for it. His ears are keen enough to hear me when I cry. His perception is strong enough to see me when I'm sinking. His power, he's exceeding abundantly able to do above all I ask and above all I think. He's not just going to pull me out of the water. Look with me. He lifted him up out of that water. He said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? He gave him a rebuke. And when they were come into the ship, now how do you think they got back? He walked him back. Oh boy, most of us think he's went zip, put him back. That nope, and maybe he carried him. I don't know. Maybe Simon Peter jumped up in his arms and said, "Carry me back to the ship, Lord." But maybe the Lord said, "I got you." That little old Luke and Shelby, I was teaching them how to walk. Them little old wobbly legs start to fall, but I got them. And so the master, hallelujah, has got hold of them, and he's walking him back. Said, you walked out here, let's me and you just walk back together. I just want to show you, you can do it. There ain't nothing me and you together can't do. Listen, old Thomas, he ain't got nothing to say now, Simon Peter. James and John, them sons of thunder, they're scared to get out here, but not you. Hey, and he walked him right back into the ship. And the Bible says, now read with me, when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. It didn't calm down for him when he was walking back. It calmed down when he got back in the ship. Oh my. Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Everybody that saw it began to worship Jesus and said, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Verse 34, I didn't read it in your hearing, but look at it now. And when they were, what? Gone over. I told you, he didn't send you forward for you to go under. He wants you to go over. Now, do you remember, what was the miracle that Jesus did before they got in this storm? Pop test. He fed them. 5,000 men and the women and the children. And 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know, he took up fragments. I didn't say it tonight, but how many of you know your Bible? How many baskets of fragments did he take up? 12 baskets. And the word is kathenos. So you see his communion table would have been just bigger than this communion table. Full of bread fragments. Now Judas is on that boat. He's a treasurer. And he's not going to let one penny go to waste. He said, boys, load them baskets on that boat. Jesus told us to go to the other side. That crowd's full. This ought to be given to a soup kitchen somewhere. And I might be hungry after a while. In fact, I may sell it. Nobody else knows. Load them baskets on that boat. And they got in a storm. Now, what do you think them baskets are doing? Preacher, you lost me. You're talking about Simon Peter walking on the water. I get it. But baskets, what do you think them baskets are doing on the ship? Ooh, 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 ooh. Tossed to and fro, sliding from one side to the other. I mean, I dare say that sometimes on the boat, them disciples were like, man, Judas, would you tie those baskets down? They're going to hurt somebody. You know what those baskets were? Evidence of the power of God. Sliding all over them while they're on the ship in the middle of the storm, and the answer and the power of God is right there. Well, I want to read out of Mark. Turn with me, chapter 6. I'm done right here, I promise. Mark chapter 6. Let's look at verse number 50. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Verse 52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. I'm preaching to somebody's old hard heart tonight. You're looking for a miracle. You've got prayer requests unto God. You've asked Jesus to help you and help you and help you. And honey, I'm telling you the evidence that he's there and listening to you and wanting to help you. They're on that ship with you right now. Just look how he's blessed you with a job, and look how he's given you shoes on your feet, and look how he saved your sin sick soul, and look at all he's done for you. Just look. Just look. All evidence. But you know why you're not considering all he's done for you? Your heart's hardened. You're only considering what you think you need. And he's not done this for me, and I'm upset. Honey, don't forget who put you in the storm. It was the Savior, and he didn't put you in it to drag you under. Hear me. Jesus is the head of the church, and the head is not going under. If you and I sink, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Amen. He's going to raise you right back up and walk you to safety. God's answer to prayer. Lord, save me. I'm sinking. I'm going to drown. Lord, save me. I've got an old hard heart. You know what he'll do? He'll stretch forth his hand and he'll catch you up and spare you right on the spot. I'm glad. How about you? He said yes. You stand to your feet tonight. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. Brother Seth, if you'd come to the piano. I'm just saying, there may be somebody here tonight. Man, you're in a low place. But you need to understand, this is when the Lord is wanting to do his greatest work in your life. Maybe be somebody here. God bless you. You need to take a little trip to an old-fashioned altar. Say, Lord, I read your word tonight, and I trust it, and I believe it. Lord, I'm asking you to walk with me on top of the waters of this storm. I'm not asking you to send peace to the storm. I'm asking you to help me walk with you through the storm to the other side. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. What a gracious Savior. What a merciful God. Lord, you didn't let Peter drown when he got his eyes off you. You spared him. Lord, when they were all 12 in the middle of that storm, despairing, distressing, thinking they was going to drown, you came to them. You went, my Bible says, your presence went right to them. They were the object of your affection. They were the object of your attention. Your focus was on them in this storm. You're not worried about the conditions of a storm. You care for your people. While you yourself endured the storms of Calvary. Woo! And claimed victory over death, hell, and the grave, that I one day could bow on my knees and say, Lord, would you save me in my despair, in my distress? I'm going to hell. I'm going to die. And Jesus endured my storm that I might be saved. And I praise you for that tonight. Lord, would you bless your people? There are people tonight, God, that are in trouble. And God, maybe, just maybe, this very word that's spoken from this passage tonight will be that which grabs their attention and which secures their hope and gets them to place their faith in Jesus. They say, Lord, save me. God, would you do it? God, do not abandon. God, you said you'd be with us to the end of the world. You said you'd never leave us or forsake us. God, we've made bad choices, bad decisions. God, would you help us, Lord? Forgive us, I pray. Save us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen.